Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, director of the conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our speakers, Eric Cantor. Eric is a graduate student at Johns Hopkins University studying applied economics with a quantitative methods focus and an active member in research in the hockey analytics community. At the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Eric will deliver a talk titled Optimum Quantity of Defensemen in a Hockey Lineup. Eric, welcome.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to the conference.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's going to be here before we know it, right? Just about a month and a half right now. So It's exciting. And we're excited to learn more about your talk. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit more about your area of academic research and then how that led you to gravitate toward hockey analytics?
Yeah, I've always kind of been an analytically minded guy, and growing up, big sports fan, and one of those cliche, you know, you always hear about people checking the stats on the back of the baseball cards and all that good stuff. And that definitely holds true for myself. And a couple of years ago, I think it was around like 2013 or so, I started just reading some pieces in analytics related to hockey. And, you know, from there, I got really intrigued and saved a glossary of statistics, and I would reference it all the time, just kept reading and reading. And from there, I was able to attend a couple of local conferences. There was one of the first few in Pittsburgh, hosted by Sam Ventura and Andrew Thomas at Carnegie Mellon. And yeah, it was just a great opportunity to kind of further network and further increase my interest and knowledge of the analytics movement in hockey. And it's just kind of expanded from there.
So what was it about hockey that drew your attention, and where did you start? I mean, what was your first project that you worked on or a question that you tackled?
Yeah, I think one of the most intriguing things about hockey analytics for me was I had read some stuff regarding baseball, and as a beginner, it was almost a little bit intimidating, I'll admit, at first, to read some of that and just how much baseball had advanced over the past 10 years, and they were kind of at the forefront of the analytics movement. And reading about hockey was just an extra element of excitement, just the way the community was starting to build up and kind of ramp up to kind of follow that same path as baseball that they had kind of blazed for us. And it was just a really exciting time to be involved with something like this. And just couldn't get enough of it. Kept reading and you know, staying involved in conferences here and there. And project-wise, the first thing I kind of worked on was my final year in my undergraduate program, and I had been kind of tinkering around with an idea I saw in an article and was intriguing to me about, kind of goes back to what I'm going to circle back on for my presentation. And it was just a simple idea where the Tampa Bay Lightning had been running this format with, instead of the traditional lineup they dress for a game with 12 forwards and 6 defensemen, they would scratch a forward and have 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. And this was just something that caught my attention at the time. You know, a couple of years ago, a lot of the stuff was more micro-level analysis, and something like this that could, you know, have potentially a different impact and, you know, much broader impact was really intriguing. So just kind of dove in. I started with this by hand. I had no programming experience, and just reading through different game reports, and I kind of grew from there to where it is now.
All right, so you just jumped way ahead in my list of questions for you, Eric, but that's okay. We might as well keep talking about that while you brought it up. That's the name of your talk at our conference, Optimum Quantity of Defensemen in a Hockey Lineup. So, I mean, where do you start with that? I mean, so you're basically, what, challenging conventional wisdom? And then see, and maybe you find out that 6 is the optimum quantity. Maybe it's 5. Maybe it's 8. How do you go about measuring and determining what is optimal for teams to use? And you know, does that vary from NHL to maybe Division One college to juniors. Just tell me about your approach.
Yeah, just like you mentioned, even a couple of variables there. I mean, you can only imagine how many different things would impact a decision like that with this roster structure. So, just like I said, it was this idea, simple, from an article about the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 2014-15 playoffs. They ran this lineup, and you know, I was like, they ran it, I think, 14 out of 26 games, and I kind of knew a little bit about John Cooper's background. He's a bit of a cerebral guy, and I was kind of curious if he was onto something. They had some success with it, and you know, a small sample size there, but just you know, kind of gained a little bit of a programming background, and I had looked at those 14 games and out of a total 26 game sample size there for that playoff season, and you know, adding some programming background to it, I think the sample's now at, with Tampa Bay at least, like over 600 games. So it's really cool to be able to expand that, and it allows you to look a little deeper with a lot less noise and a lot less, you know, error. So the trouble of analyzing this is it's not something done that frequently. So finding a team like Tampa Bay that has run it, and I think it's about a third of their games over the past 6 years. So with semi-frequency, even across the coaching changes, they had a coaching change in, I think, 2013 from Guy Boucher to John Cooper. And that kind of trend continued and just allowed you to look a little deeper. And now, you know, it can take that idea, and we're breaking it down into looking at how it affects the overall team performance. You can take a look and see how the forwards, you know, how their performance differentiates, even in the defensemen, or, you know, even the micro level tracking that they're doing now. I have some of the data from the passing project, so we can take a look into that, or even some zone entry stuff. So, you know, it'd be great to be able to expand it, the analysis beyond the Lightning, but with the limited data out there, that makes it tough. So, but overall, being able to, you know, with the growing data sample we have, it really, really helps to be able to dive in deeper into some of the different areas.
Yeah, you just touched on something I was going to ask. You know, beyond, are the Lightning the only one doing this that you know of in the NHL, or have other teams dipped their toes in the water with seven defensemen?
Well, now with Guy Boucher up in Ottawa, they ran it a couple times this year. It wasn't a significant amount, but I think it was a little more than 10. So, you know, that's something I'm looking to bring to the table here at the conference. And I've started to run every team through over the past couple of years and see the frequency. But as far as this analysis, it's really helped to have, as far as variance, just the focus here with the Lightning. But yeah, it's been a limited basis. And then the other complication can be where I know oftentimes, you know, if you see the 7D structure, more often than not, it, you know, you're seeing it when a defenseman's coming back from injury, and it's almost an insurance policy if that defenseman doesn't hold up, or, you know, if he's kind of being eased back into the lineup, so they cut his minutes a little bit. So, you know, there's that other variable there when you're trying to analyze things, is say a team does that for the injury purpose versus maybe the strategic purpose, you know, and how would that affect the analysis? And it's just a lot kind of that goes into it. So, you know, the more data we can build, the better. So,
sure. And before, you mentioned the data, and then it was lacking in some cases. What are your sources for this, and or what more needs to be done to make that data more readily available, the data that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think right now I'm just kind of digging into different files that we can scrape off the NHL feed, and we can take a look there. And it, you know, obviously the individual statistics for the team and the player level, but obviously with each game file comes the roster. So you know, through some of the program, you can just run a loop and we'll tabulate the amount of defensemen per game and kind of put a nice clean data sheet for you there. But yeah, I know, like you mentioned earlier, even kind of expanding it to the analysis at the college level, or even minor league levels, would just be really interesting. But given the availability and the ease of access, this is kind of the the optimal route right now to kind of increase the data at the most consistent and most with this kind of safest rate with some of the data out there.
Sure. So what other sorts of questions or theories do you hope to investigate further, whether it's in hockey or some other sport? Do you have anything else in mind right now?
Something that kind of popped in my head yesterday, I was just kind of thinking around, was it's really cool right now to see the growth in analytics. Obviously, you know, we know where baseball is, but how basketball has really been increasing at a great rate recently. And, you know, hockey still lags behind. And as far as the tracking with the RFID, the electronic tracking, and a lot of stuff right now has been done manual. So, you know, it's an exciting thought to consider with hockey, you know, having that on the horizon. And that's a whole nother playground of toys to play with. So there, and just, you know, obviously with that looming, and then it's really exciting to me when you can see the different sports collaborating across the board. So many of the concepts and kind of research is so very transferable, and it's really neat to see each sport feed off each other. And, you know, just with Twitter and everything else nowadays online, and the ease of you know, communication through that, it's pretty cool to watch. And even, you know, people being more active on GitHub and places like that to share their code and, you know, providing different feedback to each other. And be neat to see, I think, the communities within each sport are together, yet there's still obviously that deviation. So I think it would almost be neat to see some sort of forum in the future, a site that would host, you know, maybe different forums based on sport, but also a place to collaborate and ask for ideas, because a great place to learn about, you know, future things. If it's already been done, you can learn, you know, where might be a place to kind of dig deeper, or, you know, where that might be a dead end. So just making that research and that communication greater across the board, not just within each sport, but, you know, between all the different realms of analytics.
Yeah, that's a great observation. I mean, sports analytics seems to be very publicly shared, and the practitioners of it seem to be very open with the conversations that they have. I guess until they get hired by a team, right? And then everything they do is proprietary, or at least all the best work that they do. But I've seen that a lot. What advice would you have then, you know, along those lines, for somebody who's interested in getting involved in the industry, if you want to call it an industry? Maybe they're a college student studying economics or statistics or math or computing. What advice would you have for somebody who wanted to get going with that?
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Jesse McNulty recently, and he was recently on the podcast. And, you know, it's a great example there of how even at the high school level, he has some of his students active and involved with different teams and different levels of analytics across the board. So I think it's the opportunity is there for anyone if you have the interest and the passion, just starting out by reading and kind of getting familiar with things. Obviously, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. Like we've talked about, the community is pretty open and welcoming. So get out there and feel free to ask questions, whether it's on Twitter or any sort of form of social media, email, and even the conferences. There's more and more conferences popping up across the country, both East and West Coast now. So, you know, those are really valuable tools to meet people, network, and share ideas, you know, make some contacts. And, you know, beyond that, even just if you're picking up a programming language, it was kind of key in my development and with what I could do and how deep I could go with the analytics. And, you know, whichever you choose, there's a lot of resources out there now with Coursera or DataCamp. But even beyond that, just, you know, you're working through those programs, but it's more helpful than anything, it seems, to kind of run through a project or an idea of your own, or even if it's replicating something, but that sort of real world experience, beyond just those classroom situations and kind of building from there. But I think, you know, networking and reading and yeah, just continuing to learn and obviously enjoy it. So
which programming language would you suggest starting off with?
I particularly use R. It seems to be pretty popular across the industry. There's they just have this repository of packages that are uploaded, and you can there's just endless tools on R that you can use to analyze data or manipulate data in any sense. So that's kind of what I go with. I know that there's plenty out there between R and Python and SPSS, and I mean it's endless. So but from my experience, R seems to be a pretty popular one, and as far as sharing stuff across the industry, it would, you know, be a good start.
All right, good advice. Eric, where can people find out more about your work online, or where can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter here a little bit. It's the handle is CANT_ER. And then I have my last presentation from Babson College, the Boston conference last fall. I have all the slides and the data and code on there if you want to check out on GitHub. It's just evcantor1. And then even my email, if you have any questions or, you know, interested in the data or anything else, want to just talk, feel free to send an email. It's ebcantor1@gmail.com.
Very good. Again, my guest today has been Eric Cantor of Johns Hopkins University at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Eric will deliver a talk titled Optimum Quantity of Defensemen in a Hockey Lineup. Our coaches here at UWSP will probably be interested in hearing more about that too. So, hey, Eric, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, thanks again, Scott. Look forward to seeing you in a few short weeks.
All right, and thank you for listening today. Again, the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.